Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Edward Dickey.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah,
yes,
Happy
indeed.
New Year.
We have not gotten together since before the festivities of
Yeah,
the
you
season.
Know, it's almost as if, you know, real life happens around the holidays.
It's true.
Schedules get tough.
It's true. It's very true. But lots happened in the world of sports since the last time we got together.
The whole world, yeah.
The whole world, a lot of stuff's happening.
Yeah, it's wild.
we've got a lot of things going on. But I think the number one thing to start off with our big for the day is let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and how... No.
I was going to say, that is not what we agreed to do.
No, you want to talk about Georgia.
Let's go.
All right. So kick us
off. Back in the natty.
Back in the natty.
Sadly, against Alabama, who we just cannot seem to get past.
It seems to be
It is our great white whale.
Great white buffalo.
Great white buffalo. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and trust our Captain Ahab, which is Kirby Smart.
You know, he dies in that book, right?
I was reading it, but you just spoiled the end, so now I'm just not going to read it.
I'm pretty sure he dies and the whale gets away, so.
I'm not
sure that's what you want.
That's not the translation I've read.
No, okay. Call me Ishmael.
You are
back in the national championship. This is like the, I don't know how many time in the, how many year, but you guys, this seems to be a fairly common occurrence.
Well, this is only our second time in the national championship in the playoff era.
Okay.
We won one in 80.
Like the year I was born, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's been a while.
Yes, indeed.
But, you know, it's got to come to an end soon. You know, this cold streak we're on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say, though, like, if the playoffs had been around, we would have a couple more.
You think so?
Yeah, but the BCS was computers are terrible.
The BCS was amazing because it always favored Oklahoma, and I always put Oklahoma in the national championship, no matter how many losses we had.
It was absolutely wild.
I remember the year
it's like,
that
what?
We
let's,
got
let's
blown
watch
out.
USC beat Fresno State and then jump everybody. It's like Fresno State hadn't won a game this century.
We got blown out. I remember in like 2003, we had like the best offense in the history of college football with Jason White winning the Heisman that year, and we got blown out by K-State in the Big 12 championship, and then they still put us in the national championship game where we got blown out by LSU. I think that was
Joseph Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, yeah.
With Trenton Holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that was a fun team to watch.
But Darren Sproles was on that KSU team. Anyway.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, anyway, so let's talk about George.
We all
expected this, right? This is kind of where we thought this was headed from the very beginning.
I did not think it would be two blowouts.
Okay.
I will say, though.
Well, yeah. You want to talk about the games?
The blowouts do make a bit of an argument for going back to the computers. It's like, if we all knew who the best two teams were.
Yeah, yeah.
But Michigan deserved a chance.
They did. I thought And Cincinnati did not, but that's
you got to throw the Group of Five a bone every once in a while.
We don't have to do that again for another 10 years, probably, right? I hope.
Maybe. If you're going to get in for the Group of Five, you have to be very, very good.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if Cincinnati ever put anything on tape that made me think, they deserve to be on a field with Alabama.
Well, and to be fair,
I mean, they won other games, and, you know, that's all you can do is just beat who you play.
We don't know what anything, you know, if Oklahoma had been out there against Alabama, it would have been the same.
That's the other thing.
I mean, like, Alabama's just a better team.
I don't think it's that much of a shot at Cincinnati. Just, like, Alabama's beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
And other than Texas A&M, in Texas A&M at a night game.
Yep. Yeah,
which is going to be tough.
Insane.
Yeah,
the original home of the 12th man, as I recall.
Yes, yes, yeah, they like to claim it.
Yeah, in fact, I think they sued Seattle Seahawks for using that terminology.
That,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so now we're national championship. It's on Monday night.
Yeah, and you know it's in Indianapolis.
What's the early line? Do you know?
Last I saw, and I'm going to recheck it now. Last I saw was Georgia by 3.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty even.
Wild.
Man. Yeah.
Because you would think that they would look at the SEC championship game and say, well, that's going to happen again.
And now we got a neutral field.
Yeah, as opposed to, yeah,
well,
like,
I guess, you know, because, I mean, the
open up my SEC or my ESPN app, and I'm immediately like, oh, let's check these other stories. Like, no, you came here for a reason. It's still Georgia by three.
Georgia by three, okay. And this is a truly neutral field, and unlike the SEC championship, which is kind of, I mean, it is technically neutral field, but it's here in Georgia. I mean,
it's in Georgia, but it's not like Alabama people have to go so far.
Okay.
You know, like, it's
Yeah.
Like, this is, everybody's got to fly.
Right.
Both teams are driving to Atlanta.
Indianapolis.
Yeah. Indianapolis is a bit of a hike. You know, I wish they would have been like, you know what? Let's just put it back in Atlanta. There's no point in making everybody go all that far. I mean, I'm sure Indianapolis wants the revenue. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
But
let's put
it back in Atlanta. Let's do this thing for real.
Maybe they get Pat McAfee to show up since it's in Indianapolis.
You know, they probably will. That'd I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He's got to get some interview for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although he loves to pretend college football doesn't exist.
Well, minor league football, I mean.
We had this conversation New Year's Eve. we had a good talk about why I like college football so much better than pro. I don't like it that much better, but I do like, and it came boiled down to, I would rather watch Rutgers play Wisconsin than watch the Bears play the Vikings.
Sure, sure, sure. And I'd rather watch, you know, professional athletes play at the highest possible level. So
it,
you know,
it becomes just, like a machine at that point.
It's true.
We can get into this later on a slow week when there's no sports. There's right, a lot of stuff.
So,
going on.
So let's get it. No, let's go back to this game now.
Yes.
I want to know, as a true dog fan that you are, what do you see being different about this game than the one that you just played a month ago?
I mean, I think we have a better idea of kind of who they are.
You didn't know who they were before.
I mean, I think. And obviously, I'm not on the team, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of, well, their offense isn't going to do anything against us. We're the best defense in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, no, they actually can throw the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to come down to, can we get pressure with four and then, you know, zone, put everybody else back.
So you're seeing it almost entirely as a defensive struggle for Georgia. What's going to win the game.
The better defense will win.
Okay.
Like, I love Stetson Bennett. Big Stetson Bennett guy.
Right.
Stetson Bennett's not going to go out there and beat Alabama for
you. That's what I've been hearing. Like, if you guys get behind,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
I mean, he can do it, I think.
You said that with a lot of confidence.
Yeah. But the other thing that Stetson brings is that the team plays for Stetson.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw that interview after the game. He was getting interviewed by somebody from ESPN.
Yeah.
The guy with the good hair.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
Real handsome fella.
Yeah, real handsome fella.
But, and then all of his teammates were behind the camera screaming, mailman, mailman.
Uh-huh,
because he used to wear a mailman hat
to all the
camps.
Yeah. That's
so
cool.
His nickname for mailman. But, yeah, I mean, I think.
So they play for him. He's a good leader.
He's a good leader. And he's got the good story. He's 5'10". He's listed at 5'10".
Oh, wow. He's a really tiny guy.
He might be listed at 5'11", but you have to, you mean, you fill out, you
on.
Fill out that form for what you want to be listed at.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's not your physical.
He's going to show it to the combine and be like 5'9", 5'8".
Basically. Well, that's the other thing is he's a junior.
Oh, wow.
We might have him next year.
Okay. All right.
I'd be interested to see what JT Daniels does if we do that.
Yeah,
but that's a whole another bag of worms.
Yeah.
But I mean, and these are the best two teams in college football.
Yeah, I'm glad there's no doubt about that.
I'm glad that we gave the others a chance. They had an opportunity.
So magnanimous.
You never know.
Glad we played the season. I mean, no regrets.
No regrets. but like. And Michigan had a really good team. They had a really good season.
Yes, they did.
And I mean,
I think it's good to see Jim Harbaugh actually do something.
Yeah, and I think Harbaugh's kind of got them going in the right direction.
Right.
It only took him better part of a decade. no, I think this is only his fourth year. But I think, I mean, I've, these are the best two teams, and it's going to be a slobber knocker.
Do you have any prediction on the score?
No.
You're not even going to try, huh? Where are you going to watch the game?
You know...
Is this the kind of thing where you watch alone because you don't know
what's
going to happen?
It might be watch alone.
Or is it the kind of thing you go out and celebrate? You go out to so that the potential celebration, you want to be around a bunch of Georgia fans?
You know, it's going to depend on if I get offered to a good party or invited to a good party or not. But
so you're definitely going to be alone.
Chances are, yes. And that's how I want it to be. I want to sit there and watch this game by myself.
I think I know a lot of people who are going to do that. I think that's to be the
but you know,
the MO between you Georgia fans.
So I want so much this scarring. On the record.
Oh, okay.
For many, many years, Atlanta was known as a sports cursed sports town.
Yeah, yeah.
We started a podcast. We're in a national championship, but we won a World Series.
That's right. This podcast.
You could say that that's all coincidence, but until you can prove to me that it's not a coincidence, I'm going with that we're the reason.
I think putting your voice out there has changed the entire landscape
of the world
in Atlanta.
Of the world.
Well, let's start with Atlanta, and maybe we'll get to work our way to the world.
Everything else has gone terribly, but Atlanta sports is doing all right.
All right, that's good.
And I mean, you know, the Falcons, granted, we're not in the playoffs, but we get to hopefully this weekend knock the damn Aints out of the playoffs.
Well, that would be good, right? And I will say, though, we brought Taylor on to do the soccer special, and the Atlanta United immediately lost, and we're out of the playoffs.
You know, this reason he hadn't been invited back. That and everything we had to edit out. That's a lie. Taylor Willis was awesome.
Oh, Taylor, come back.
We'd love to have you back anytime, Taylor Willis. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm pumped, as you can tell. But I definitely think this is going to be me sitting on my couch with some bourbon.
Yeah.
And probably going to Uber Eat some chicken tenders.
Okay. All right.
And talk to nobody. Make no noise for about 3 hours.
Well, hey, man, good luck. I
appreciate that.
I don't know if I could stand if Georgia won a national championship. Like, Georgia fans are terrible around here. But for you, my friend,
I
will say
that.
Good luck. And I will then say...
That is rich coming from a Cowboys fan.
I know, right? But I'm a pretty level-headed Cowboys fan. I'm not
that,
like the
that makes one.
I might be the only one.
I mean, you're level-headed because they're... I mean, you know,
I'm a
they
realist.
Are what they are right
yes,
now.
Yes, because
right
I'm a realist. Now, yeah. Yes, indeed. That's exactly right. Now, so as we do head into the national championship, one thing that I think you probably have to be worried about, concerned about, is going to be our sad of the week, which is... COVID is still here.
And
Omicron or Omitron, COVID in disguise, as we're calling it.
I love that Omarion, the like musician, put out like a tweet or something saying, I am not the new variant.
So,
yeah, I mean, it is. I don't know if you're an NBA fan at all.
A little bit, yeah.
What it has done to the NBA has been wild.
It's crazy.
The Hawks had, I think, all but one or two guys on the beginning roster were in the COVID protocol.
Yeah.
At one point, I believe we had one of our normal guys on the like playing, and then seven other 10-day contract guys.
Yeah.
Which.
Bunch of people back in the league. I saw
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson back in the league.
I saw Joe.
Isaiah Thomas back in the league.
Lance Stevenson. We had him for a little while. But, you know, it does bring me to another point of that other teams were able to get games moved.
Yeah.
But the Hawks are getting absolutely ravaged.
Sure.
And it's like, no, play the games. They're going to count on your record.
Yep.
Why?
Why would they move a game for the Hawks?
I realize going back to the woe is me, Atlanta, everybody hates us, fan, which I still think it's Ted Turner made a lot of enemies and now nobody likes us.
That's exactly right.
That's my theory behind it. But, I mean, I got a feeling like Adam Sandler wasn't far from getting a 10-day contract. Like, you know, because he plays basketball at the Y.
That's right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it just got... I think the NFL kind of moved to if you don't have symptoms, you're not getting tested.
Yeah, they moved that quick.
And I think it's because end of the season and...
they're not going to move games. I mean,
football's a different beast.
Yeah.
That each team has 52 guys.
Yeah.
So when you start digging into the...
Plus a whole practice squad, whoever.
Right? Yeah. I mean, but like whenever you start digging into like the free agent or practice squad barrel, next thing you know, you got a guy who couldn't make a roster having to guard... or having to cover like Tyreek Hill.
Right, right.
Like, and that's not good football.
It's not good football. And it gets even dangerous when you talk about like offensive linemen who have to come in and then you're like...
Because then you're going to have... Like the Falcons, those two rookies.
Exactly, yeah.
Jalen Mayfield, hopefully, it's a forged by fire, and he's
sure
turns into something amazing. But as of right now, he's an absolute turnstile.
Just dumpster fire.
You get a sack. You get a sack. You get a sack. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh man!
But I mean, it is just and the Falcons have stayed pretty safe from COVID.
Yeah. Dallas has too, for the most part.
I think the Falcons also, we were one of the first teams to be 100% vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely does.
But I mean, and it's just been crazy.
It's fun. It's funny to me that we find out that some of these players aren't vaccinated, not until they break not until they're in the protocol itself, right? Like Rodgers earlier in the season, but then Carson Wentz, last week, and
well, and it's like, I mean, your decision, your body, whatever. But like, if you're a quarterback, man, you can't miss a game. Like you're starting an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to do everything in your power.
Right.
Not to miss a game.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Cam Newton, who was very anti-vaccine, he got it.
Yeah.
Because he said he wanted to play football again.
Right. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, and I think that's not too much to expect, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get to the politics of it all, but like,
yeah,
it's just insane.
As I've said before,
yeah,
nobody in the world is coming here to hear our political takes. And if you are, there's a lot of other issues going on, man. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, why are we?
Well, some of the players who wanted to avert some of the COVID protocols acted like they were vaccinated. And that brings us to the other part of our sad today, which is Antonio Brown out.
This is one of those weird situations where there's two sads. Yeah. And Antonio Brown.
Because maybe COVID fried his brain.
God.
I am baffled by what I witnessed on Sunday.
So I coach.
But not surprised. Not from him.
I have coached 7-year-old football before.
Yeah.
Never seen that. I've never seen somebody take off their pads, shirt, gloves, walk across the field and leave a game.
Have we heard anything about what's the exact thing that instigated this? I know
we're never going to get, because, you know, he has his side, the Bucks have their side.
Right.
And somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Somewhere in the middle is Tom Brady, where he's like, look, we just all love him.
He's
no longer a Buck.
Which, kind of what, you know, like McAfee was talking about this, where he said that Antonio felt like when he came back from his suspension for the fake COVID card.
Yeah. Again, what?
Just get the fact, like, Nick, if you're doing vaccine. All that work, just get the damn vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the second time I've said damn on the show. I had Burger King before I came.
That'll do it every time.
Yeah,
every time.
You know, this...
this show brought to you by Burger King.
Yeah, all the caffeine's going through me hard. A large Coke. But apparently he didn't feel as the relationship changed when he came back because he felt like the team didn't support him.
Yeah.
Which you broke the league rule.
I mean, I can see that.
So
I can see
the other argument.
I can see how he has like this kind of very fragile psychology, right? I don't know him at all, obviously, so I'm making speculations here.
Yeah.
So let's be clear about that. But
neither one of us are psychologists.
It does appear as though he has a somewhat fragile psychology in the sense that he needs to be accepted and embraced.
Yeah.
And when he came back, I'm sure that there were people who were like, dude, what were you thinking? Or who just kind of laughed him off or in any way didn't support him in what he was trying to pull off, right? And I can see how that would unsettle him to a point where
he's gone on these episodes before.
This is clearly not normal behavior, right? I heard Michael Strahan talk about this after the game where I think Terry Bradshaw was trying to joke about it or whatever, and Strahan was like, look, this is clearly not normal behavior. This guy's in trouble. Like, he needs help, right? And it's something that
but I feel like he's needed help for
a while.
Right? Yeah. And you know, he'll do fine for a little while and then he will go on another episode.
Yeah.
And then he'll do fine for a little while.
And I saw that he was at the Nets game last night.
Yeah.
Right. Just by the game, just watching the game.
What? I mean, but hey.
Probably going to be playing for the Nets at some point, I would imagine.
Who was it who said within the year he's going to be fighting one of the Paul brothers?
There's no doubt.
I mean, that's got to be the next logical move for him.
Speaking of,
I think there's something said when Terrell Owens finally had to retire.
Yeah.
Which was that he just kind of ran out of bridges to burn.
Yeah.
And I think Antonio Brown has officially done that.
Oh, I think that's true.
And
I can't
also, I think, so somebody like was trying to compare T.O. and A.B.
Yeah.
And Terrell Owens is like, I was never that bad.
No, no. I was doing sit-ups in my driveway, but
yeah,
that wasn't during the middle of the game.
T.O. played Super Bowl with a broken leg. Like,
yeah,
T.O. clearly, and I mean, he was crying over Tony Romo.
I know. That's my quarterback, man.
Which you probably loved.
No,
I did. That's probably...
T.O.'s a guy who flipped on me. I hated the guy because he was a 49er, and I didn't like them. He was an Eagle, and I don't like them. And then he became a Cowboy, and I was like, oh, here we go. And then I fell in love with him. Because I think he's one of the most underrated receivers of all time, which is a ridiculous thing to say, because he's like number two or three in
receptions. Yeah, and I mean, because there was like some argument about, like, is he a Hall of Famer? It's like, this guy's statistically top three in
I would take
every
him.
Stat.
Like, if I would take
him. I would take him right now.
I would take him right now.
Yeah. I mean, and he's probably pushing 50. Yeah. I would take him on the Falcons right now.
Absolutely.
He could probably get better separation than some of our guys.
Absolutely. And he'd get a vaccination, I bet.
He's probably already vaxxed. but, yeah, I mean, I think Antonio Brown needs to get some serious help.
Sure.
But, we've known that about him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
when
he was getting into a fight with the moving company or,
yeah,
like, doing all that craziness over the summer.
I mean.
Or 2 summers ago.
Yeah, I just don't. The wheels came off of him so quick, and then they haven't been fully put back on.
You know, really makes you think how good of a coach Mike Tomlin is.
Yeah.
Because he was able to keep...
And Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, he kept all that together. But speaking of, did you watch the Big Ben game last night?
I did not.
It was very nice.
It was nice to see him. I know that he won and that the Browns are on fire again.
I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. People told me they were winning the Super Bowl.
I honestly thought they were going to be better than they were.
But. Yeah, but like, you know, Big Ben doing his like the lap around the stadium, shaking everybody's hand.
Yeah, I saw that on highlights. Yeah,
it was good. But I was talking to somebody who's a Broncos fan, and he was like, you know, I never liked him because he always knocks us out of the playoffs. And I was like, you know, I kind of had the same moment when Drew Brees retired.
Yeah, I can see
as
that.
A Falcons fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's quarterback of my arch rival.
Yeah.
Just got to tip your cap to him.
Yeah, tip your cap to him.
Good career.
I'll miss old Ben. You know, I'm not a big Steelers fan, obviously, as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
But
he always has been, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll have some highlights that are fun to watch.
You know, and it's that whole quarterback class. Him and Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning and all those guys who came in together, basically. Like, they're all gone now. It's all...
Obviously, you didn't watch the Manning cast last night.
I didn't, no.
Snoop Dogg said he's going to give Eli Manning his death row chain. Which is like... A big like '90s hip hop relic.
What's Eli gonna do with it?
He said he's gonna wear it because it was Eli's birthday or something. I don't know.
That's amazing.
But yeah, no. I mean, AB is. I mean, I don't know what he does next.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be in a football field.
It's gonna be a football field.
He might go to the USFL or something. One of those.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's possible.
But I mean, I don't see any other GM taking a chance on him.
I hope everything turns out okay for him.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody who has, it seems, turned out okay for, who was in the news for a while, there's a little guy named Tiger Woods. You remember him? There's a big old
fan.
He was a big old golf player for a while. And then,
so we're now moving to the fun portion.
Yeah, so here's our fun portion.
So basically what we just forced our listeners to eat their vegetables. Now it's time for dessert.
All right. So you have been pushing this topic since
it happened.
Christmas. Yeah.
So this was weeks ago.
This is weeks ago now, but here's your platform.
I don't care. We're talking about it. The PNC Championship.
Yes.
Was some of the most fun I've had watching golf.
Yes.
The most fun I've had watching golf, not a major event.
Yeah. Since Tiger won the Masters.
Well, I mean, I watch all the majors, but the...
I watch Masters Sunday, if Tiger's in the lead.
Masters is amazing. But it's the father-son, or pro, it's like a pro-am,
right.
But you have to have a family member.
Okay.
Be one of the amateurs.
Right.
It's always a fun field. And it's always kind of fun to see the golfers are kind of relaxed.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, it started off, I believe it was Patrick Harrington had a really young son who was playing with him, like younger than Charlie Woods.
Oh, wow. Like 2 or 3 years old?
I think he was like 10.
Was he carrying his... How old is Charlie?
I think he's 12.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I would have said he was 10 looking at him, but he's tiny.
Well, he's
a tiny little golfer.
His dad's pretty tall.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, it started off with like the dinner the night before with like Padraig Harrington's son roasting him, saying, I mean, if he plays like he did in the last tournament, there's no chance we win. Like, you know, stuff like
so
that.
Much fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, but and also that night you have John Daly dressed as Santa Claus.
Which is appropriate somehow.
They take a big group picture.
Yeah.
And everybody's like wearing nice clothes, and then John Daly's dressed up as Santa.
Do they do this every year? Is this a,
yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. And so I found out about this tournament because I heard that John Daly has a son who's good at golf, and so I was looking up, like, how old is he? What does he do? And I found this tournament that he that him and
yeah.
John Daly's son goes by LJ, which stands for Little John.
Okay. Little John. I like it.
So LJ and John Daly. And probably my two favorite golfers are Tiger Woods and John Daly.
Yeah. Okay.
And
I can
so
see that.
That's why I loved this tournament.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it went down to the wire with John Daly and Charlie and Tiger Woods. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Charlie Woods is electric.
Yeah, he is. So I went back and watched a bunch of highlights after you told me we had to do this.
Oh, we're talking about it.
And so I went and watched a bunch of highlights, and he is electric. Like,
he's
personality,
a very good player.
But he's also very good.
Now, and I think it's unfair to, like, compare him to his dad.
Well, yeah.
Like, his dad is the best golfer of all time.
Yeah, no doubt.
And his dad was... like a prodigy.
Yeah.
The way I've kind of understood the story is like during the pandemic, Charlie started kind of playing with Tiger.
Yeah.
Like at the course they have, or like the course they live on with like Justin Thomas and all those guys. Well, and he just kind of took to it.
Let me just pause here just pausing. A second and say this. Didn't Tiger Woods almost die like a year ago? Wasn't there some kind of basically fatal car crash that he came back from the dead and broke his legs and like was never going to walk again? And now it's like less than a year later and he's out there playing golf again?
I believe it's 11 months later.
I mean...
And he played well.
I was shocked to see the Tigers even standing up, much less playing golf. And
not always
playing competitively, but like, you know,
I always said if they're keeping score, it's
so
competitive.
Well done, Tiger Woods.
That guy has come back, and this isn't his first injury.
He was like a catastrophic like car crash.
But he's had like several back injuries, several knee injuries. Like
he's used to it by now.
But any one of those destroys.
He's had all the nerves removed.
Any one of those destroys a normal human.
Yeah.
But Tiger is not a normal human.
Do we know anything? Is he going to play? Is he going to play competitively again?
I think so.
All right.
Oh, I think he said he's never going to do a full like
schedule anymore.
Yeah, he'll probably do the majors.
Okay. All right.
Which
he's got like an automatic invite to all of them.
Well, yeah,
I think,
he's
right?
won them all. Yeah. I mean,
multiple times.
When he did the Tiger Slam, that has to be one of the most impressive things in sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Winning all of them in a 12-month span.
Yeah.
But Charlie can play. For a little guy.
He's legit. He's not just a show. He's legit.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's like, okay, cool. Tiger Woods' son. That's cute. They kind of look the same.
They were breaking down his swing and how it was technically flawless. You know,
yeah,
for a kid his age.
Yeah,
well, they were saying, like, this one guy, and obviously they're going to be talking this up, but
yeah.
One of the commentators was like, I would put that technique up against any golfer in the world right now.
Which is a ridiculous thing
to say about a 12-year-old or whatever.
I'm not 100% sure that he's 12. We're gonna go with that he's 12.
He's a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
A very young kid, but like even like the little mannerisms.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And
how he gets so upset when he like just off the green a little bit.
Yeah, and like he does like the club twirl like Tiger does. Yep. The fist bumps were going. It's very
doing
clear.
The club lean thing.
Yeah, it's very clear who taught him. But what I love is the trash talking.
Yeah.
From this kid, because Tiger is always. It's been like a story on tour that Tiger's a big trash talker.
Yeah.
But he's very private, so nobody really knew about that.
Right.
Charlie is not private.
No, he's not. It's all out there.
I mean, he told a reporter that his back was still sore from last year from carrying his dad all over the course. Like, he's a very open trash talker.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He's got kind of that like rock star
that's great.
Thing that his dad had.
That's great.
Because, and as we were kind of discussing this before we went live, while I was eating my hamburger, I'm sorry, Whopper. and the only person who is as famous in the sports world as Tiger is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just wild to see somebody with like that same level of talent.
Yeah.
Who's clearly going to go into that be such a natural in front of the camera. And
I know that Michael Jordan's kids didn't really pan out as basketball players, but you got,
and I've always kind of like, that's a tough name.
Absolutely. Well, you've got LeBron James. I'm thinking about him and Bronny, his kid, Bronny, coming up. Right?
Yeah. And he's good.
He's really good. Is he going to be, he can't,
but 1%, yeah, like 0.0000001% of people are ever going to be as good as LeBron James is,
sure,
at basketball.
Sure.
And that's kind of what's
sad about,
but
it helps
about,
to have
like,
the same genetics, right?
Sure.
And to have LeBron as your teacher.
But
does give you an advantage, I think.
It doesn't always work out for the second generation,
that's true,
guys.
That's true.
That being said, though, going back to the PNC.
Yeah.
LJ, like Little John.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I mean, he's going to Arkansas to play golf.
Okay. So he's older.
Yeah. And he's like a legitimately good golfer.
Okay.
His dad always
unlike his dad.
Well, his
they mean it helps to have a dad like John Daly.
It helps to have a dad like John Daly, yes. There's a story that John Daly tells, where they all were like, all the tour guys were just like drinking in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And Tiger walks through to go to the weight room, and John Daly stops, like, "Hey man, look, you're already better than all of us, man. Why are you going to the weight room, man? Just come have a drink with the boys." And Tiger looked at John Daly and said, "If I had your talent, I could have a drink with the boys, but I don't." John Daly just had that natural talent.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you know,
now a basket case. How you go from winning, being the fifth alternate to the U.S. Open to winning the U.S. Open to being found unconscious in a Hooters parking lot.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah,
that's a talent. Wild ride. It's a very good 30 for 30.
I went to the. I may have told you a story before, but I went to the 2007 PGA Championship. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and me and my buddy Larry, we went to like the third day. I think it's a Saturday, and we basically just went and sat at the 16th green and waited for Tiger to come. Right. And
yeah.
We got as close as we could, and then kind of watched Mickelson a little bit, but before we went in, we went to the Mexican restaurant across the street from the place. And we're sitting there having like fajitas or whatever. And no joke, this is not a joke. At the bar is John Daly. And he is drinking a pitcher of margaritas and he is getting hammered and he's yelling at people and he's like laughing. He's having a good time. He's not being belligerent or anything, but he's like clearly drunk. And then all of a sudden he's like, I gotta go get my tea time or whatever. And gets up and walks out and goes over to play in the PGA championship game. And
that is
bonkers. Did that really just? I mean, like I'd heard stories like that about him, obviously, but like,
yeah,
that was
that's always
legit
kind of been
thing
how,
we saw.
That's always been his MO. I mean, his line of clubs is called the grip it and rip it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But and that's kind of like that's still the way he plays.
Yeah.
But it was funny seeing LJ, who has a similar build,
yeah,
a little more in shape than his dad.
Yeah.
But a little portly. But he's sitting there, and he kind of looks like him too. But he's sitting there, like actually lining up shots, and like reading putts. It's like, man, that's so opposite. Like your dad hasn't read a putt in his life.
Oh my gosh! That's
But it was the most fun I've had watching golf in a while.
All right, well that's good.
It was on Saturday. I was definitely still watching college football, but it was still on my go back and check
awesome.
My last button.
Well, it's good to hear the Tiger's back, and good luck to his son Charlie.
And I mean, hopefully Tiger. I mean, we didn't get to talk about that, but like, now I think him being able to ride in the cart helped.
Oh, no doubt.
And he was still limping a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's only going to improve.
Yeah, hopefully.
Over time.
Because
his swing is still there.
Yeah.
He was still hitting really good shots.
Good. That is really encouraging to hear because I really thought that he might not walk again.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely done.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have
counted
Tiger out.
Can't stop the Tiger.
The 30 for 30 on him is going to be really good.
It's going to be really good.
I've already figured out the tagline for that one.
Oh, let's hear it.
Because you know, they always like do like, what if I told you thing for the...
What if I told you?
What if I told you this tiger roared again? The best. ESPN, you can have it. No need to thank me
tiger
or anything.
Tiger King.
Yes.
The real Tiger King?
Yes. No. But yeah, no, I mean, that was so much fun to watch.
All right, well, Edward, I keep calling you Eddie because you let me call you Eddie for 2 years, and now,
well,
now you tell me you don't like being called Eddie. So
I was just gonna let it ride for the rest of my life, but then somebody else told you.
Edward, thanks for being here today, man.
Thank you for having me.
And everybody out there, enjoy your happy new year.
Yep. Stay safe. Get vaccinated.